Okay, like many people, it's often difficult for me to understand all of the different forces that are at play in Afghanistan. We have the Taliban, although it's not a completely centralized organization. We have NATO, of course. We have U.S. forces. And then we have Pakistan, which we've talked about on The Takeaway many times. Is a bit of perhaps reluctant, certainly uncertain ally in the war against the Taliban. And here's some new developments on this story. Back in February, Pakistani officials arrested a top Taliban operational commander. His name was Abdul Ghani Baradar. And they said the capture was a lucky break. But there's a new twist to it. Pakistani officials originally said they had no idea who Baradar was when they arrested him, and they were surprised to find out later that he was the Taliban's second in command. But New York Times foreign correspondent Dexter Filkins writes on the front page of the New York Times this morning, Pakistani officials now say they used help from the CIA to arrest Baradar, and they arrested him to stop secret peace talks that he'd been holding with the Afghan government. Confused, New York Times correspondent Dexter Filkins joins us live from Kabul. Dexter, please lay this out to me so I can understand what's going on here.
Well, it's actually pretty simple. I mean, it's a spy novel, but at its heart, it's pretty simple. The Taliban, of course, have been fighting the Afghan government for a long time, but, you know, they're all Afghans. And so very quietly, this is earlier this year, late last year, the Afghan government and the Taliban leadership were talking. They were just talking about possibly ending the war, which is, you know, presumably a good thing for everybody. What happened here and what my story is about is that the Pakistani intelligence services figured out that these talks were happening. They were happening without their permission or out their knowledge. So they went and picked up all the Taliban leaders that were involved in these discussions and so shut them all down. And the thing that makes this all so confusing is Pakistan's kind of double game.
Right.
And that really is the spy novel part of it. You know, Pakistan has been getting around a billion dollars a year from the United States government every year since 2001. You know, we beg with them, we plead with them, we pat them on the back for fighting the Taliban and the Islamic militants, which are, you know, growing in strength every day inside their own country. But at the very same time, very quietly, but not so secretly, the very same Pakistani government is supporting the Taliban, which is, of course, killing American soldiers and fighting the Afghan government that the United States is trying to build.
Okay. Well, explain to me.
So literally, at the same time that the United States, U.S. taxpayers are cutting checks for $1 billion to the Pakistani government, they are supporting the Taliban.
Right. Okay. But the Pakistan government says that they had help from the CIA in this arrest. Was the CIA aware that by arresting Baradar, they were ending these peace talks?
Well, it's not clear that he was aware. I think that's, you know, there's still some unknowns in this story. But I think if you look at it at its heart, what the possibility here, and I think the real possibility, is the CIA was used. That's basically the way to put it.
And we know they like that so much.
Yeah. Well, then nobody likes to be used. But, the Pakistanis went to them and said, look, we know where some Taliban leaders are. And, of course, you know, you can imagine the CIA would sit up in its chair and say, great, let's go get them. And so they went and got them together. The Pakistanis at that point said, thanks very much. We're going to take this guy. We'll call you later. And, of course, it turned out this was the number two commander in the Taliban, who was the one who was talking to the Afghan government to make peace. So all the talks fell apart. I think, again, the other really strange twist here, but not so strange. I mean, maybe I've been in this part of the world for too long, but is that the Taliban leadership, the Taliban leadership has been living in in Pakistan since 2001. They've been living more or less, I think it's a pretty good bet, that the ISI, the Pakistani spy agency, could pick these leaders up any day they wanted. But they decided to do it now, and this apparently is the reason. And so again, it's all of this. You know, if you just stand way back, you look at the terrible predicament that we're in this part of the world. It's a very, very difficult war. It's bloodier now than it's ever been. More American soldiers are being killed than ever before. And we have in Pakistan an extraordinarily difficult and complex relationship that the United States government is trying to manage. And this is just an example of that. I mean, it's a 3D chess game. You know, we're paying them money, they're working against us. We're paying them money, they work for us. It's really, really hard.
Is it clear cut that in this particular case, the Pakistanis were working against U.S. interests? In other words, can we safely say that the United States would have wanted Baradar to continue those peace talks with the Afghan government?
That's not clear, but I think that's not entirely clear. I think what is clear is that there were peace talks which were going on, and the Pakistanis wanted to be a part of those peace talks. They want to be at the table. They want to be able to manage the Taliban, and they were not part of them, and so they shut them down. And so while there were talks that were going on, and now they're not going on, and that's really the bottom line.
And the United States is going to address this how? Do we have any idea?
Well, that's the problem. I mean, the perennial problem in this part of the world, in some ways, it's much greater than the problems that we have in Afghanistan. You have Pakistan, which is a country of close to 200 million people, an illiteracy rate of over 50%, a huge and expanding problem of Islamic militancy. It's one of the poorest countries in the world, and it has nuclear weapons. And that's kind of...
And it's now underwater.
And it's now underwater, and it is underwater. And you know, the Islamic charities, which are connected to the Islamic militancy, are only too happy to step in where the government cannot and provide relief to the Pakistani people. It's a terrible situation.
That is Dexter Filkins, New York Times foreign correspondent, speaking to us from Kabul, Afghanistan, talking about the spy story that involved Pakistani officials, a top commander in the Taliban, and NATO.